Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello. Happy Friday and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I've been telling you all week that we have a guest that has lived through incredible experiences that will definitely touch your heart and mind. And I think this being the holiday season, experiences like Allison Massari has gone through really gives us pause to be aware of how life can bring us challenges many times that we have no idea are coming. And what we do with those challenges can make a difference in the world of others. And that's what Allison is doing every day of her life. Allison Massari, I want to welcome you to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Allison, I met you in New York at the National Publicity Summit. And when you gave me just a smidgen, you had all of 2 minutes to be able to talk to me, and in just less than 30 seconds, I knew that I wanted to have you as a guest, and you gave me your material, and it's titled Ignited. And I haven't told my audience very much about that, because that word can bring all kinds of visual images to one. But your story is a very poignant one, and I want my audience to know a little bit about you. You not only have lived through an incredible life-altering happening, but you have been creating, selling, and placing fine art internationally to collectors for, you know, it's just amazing. And then Fortune 1000 clients, like General Mills, U.S. Airways, Lockheed Martin, they've all purchased your art. And
yes,
you have had your art in the permanent collection of the Museum of Fine Arts in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yes.
You also have founded a very special group, which we'll talk about later, for teenagers with particular circumstances. You have degrees behind you, but the most significant thing that happened in your life was also the most horrific. Allison, tell my audience what you have lived through, this particular experience that totally, totally changed your life.
Well, thank you for that beautiful introduction. It was interesting because this happened at a time in my life when my art career was coming to this wonderful pinnacle. I had just been invited to be in my first group show at a museum, the Tampa Museum of Art in Florida. And I went home, which is where I'm from, that area, and I was staying with family. And one night I was in my car by myself driving. It was about 8 o'clock at night. And out of the blue, I never saw it coming, I was hit 60 miles an hour by another car. And my car spun out. It knocked the whole body of the car off the chassis. And I was knocked unconscious for a second. And when I came to, I couldn't believe I didn't have a broken bone on my body. I was just totally shocked. I couldn't believe I was okay. But as I was turning to unlock the door and get out, I suddenly realized I wasn't okay. I was completely crushed against my wheel. All the metal was crushed around me, and I was trapped inside as a flame broke out to my right. And within seconds, the entire car was consumed in fire. I was conscious the entire time, and it was literally like being in a Hollywood movie. I was assessing the whole thing. I was processing exactly where I was. I was thinking, okay, someone, if they're here, is just dialing 911. I'm already catching on fire. My car seat was melting onto my back. It was burning down to the bone on my right shoulder. And I was beginning to choke from all the chemical fumes. I had my turpentine in the back that was exploding, and all the chemicals were creating this thick, black, dense smoke. And I knew I was going to die. I mean, I was in what I perceived an absolutely impossible situation. And it was just horrific. What I didn't know was, you know, here I was just surrounded by this wall of fire, and all I could see was the black of night and not a soul around. But what I didn't know, there were witnesses. There were people there on the scene. And, of course, they were too afraid to approach the car. I mean, a witness later told me that the flames were 30 feet above the car and 30 yards back in a trail of fire. It was like an inferno. And this one witness that told me the story of what he saw, he said it was the most unbelievable thing. You know, he was in total panic, not knowing what to do. He was afraid, and he was, just as he was just sitting there thinking, oh, my gosh, this person's life is going to be on my conscience, and he was so concerned about that, which I reassured him that I would not have felt that way because it would have been hard for anybody to approach that car. But he said, out of the black of night, all of a sudden, this man comes out of nowhere and starts walking just fiercely towards the car, not hesitating, just pumping his arms. He said it was like watching the Terminator. He walked through the wall of fire and without even ducking his head from the flames, comes around the car. And, you know, here I am in the car. I have no idea. I'm thinking I'm about to take my last breath. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm sitting there just, of course, at the time, begging to not have to die alone. It was this horrible feeling to be in such absolute agony and be alone in that agony. And I was just begging to not die alone, which is interesting that that was in the forefront of my mind. But all of a sudden, I look to my left, and there's the face of this man getting right up to the glass, looking right at me, locking eyes with me. And I was just, my heart burst open. I was ecstatic because I didn't think he was going to get me out of the car. But I just was so relieved that there was somebody there. And he yells out, you know, which I didn't expect, get your head down. And I, of course, did. I had to move into the fire for him to do what he needed to do. And in one kick, he kicked the entire glass window out and got me out of that car. It was just unbelievable. Patted me out with his bare hands, dragged me away from this car, tires were exploding. And firemen said that if he had hesitated just even 3 seconds, that I would be dead. It was just unbelievable.
Matt, did you ever find out who that man was?
I did. In fact, when I was in the hospital, you know, I was airlifted to the hospital, and there's so much to that story, but I remember being in the hospital and just begging my family, you have to find this man. Please, you know, please bring him to me. And he came to the hospital with strawberry milkshakes and a huge cheese pizza, and he slunk down in the chair in my room. And here, you know, I was expecting the same person that met me in the fire, which he looked so powerful and, you know, just so fierce is the word. And the man that came to my room was just slunk in the chair. He was so benevolent and sweet. And I just looked at him like, oh my goodness. His name was Roger Pepper. And he's a Vietnam vet. And it was just amazing. When we met, I said to him, Roger, you saved my life. Like, how many times does anyone ever say that to somebody? You saved my life. And I was so almost speechless in front of him every time I would say this to him. And what blew me away was every single time that I would try to say this to him, he would stop me and say, oh, no, Allison, you saved my life. And I just thought, well, what on earth are you talking about? And I listened and he tried to explain to me, and this is part of the miraculousness of this event, was he explained to me that just 6 months earlier he had lost the love of his life, his wife, to cancer. He adored this woman, and he was completely devastated to the point where he left his career. He was a completely broken man. He got a job as a security guard just to pay his bills and eat. And at the same time, he was reflecting on his entire life that he had lived. And he told me, Allison, I was not a good person. I wronged so many people. I had so many regrets. There's so many things I did that I couldn't take back, and I felt so bad about my life. And this had taken him into such despair and such deep depression that he said he didn't care about his life. He didn't care, and that is what he said gave him the courage to walk into that fire, because he didn't care about what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's so amazing that someone in such a deep place of pain met me in a fire of my deepest place of pain, and two people saved each other in the middle of a fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was so beautiful. And of course, we went on years. We were friends for years. He always would call me and encourage me, and he'd say, I'm never going to stop lifting you up. I pulled you out of that car. I'm never going to stop taking care of you. And, you know, he went on to live a beautiful life. He fell in love again. And he was just an extraordinary man. It was so humbling to meet him and to see someone do something so selfless and so brave. And to the end, he died a few years ago, unfortunately, but he to the end was so humble about it.
Mm-hmm. This is something that I think is a part of the wonderful, wonderful beauty of your story. There are so many parts that you share in your CD set called Ignited, and I know you're working on a book right now. When you were 32 years old, when this
happened,
and to have something like this occur, unlike a Hollywood movie, where they go through a few frames and then the scene is over and then they can have a miraculous recovery in a few scenes. You went through 10 years where you had so many various experiences that most people would just say, I would never have been able to do what you've done. You isolated yourself because you were burned horrifically.
Yeah.
Just horrifically. And one of the stories that really had a tremendous impact on me was you're getting an infection. A burn victim has to go through so many hideous treatments to get rid of dead skin and to encourage healthy skin to grow. And you were burned so badly all over your body. And you were told by a physician, because you had started to get an infection, to go into a hospital, and you couldn't wear clothes. You just had on like a shift, and you were very, very sick.
Yeah.
Share that experience, because this is a nursing professional, and when I listened to this, because this is on your CD, I got very, very upset with this person, because I thought, this should not be a person in the medical profession. They just don't understand. It's beyond me. But you've got to share the story, so I want you to tell it.
I will, and I will preface it by saying this is a very intense story. I'm glad you asked me to share it, but I also want to just say that there were countless nurses and doctors that gave me so much incredible care and love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And without them, I wouldn't have made it, not only physically, but even mentally and emotionally. These people were extraordinary. I have so much respect for that profession. And that's part of what makes the story so shocking that I'm about
mm-hmm.
to share.
Yes,
but yes, it is. It's quite shocking. I was, I think, only home from the hospital a couple of weeks. And I woke up one day and my entire body was covered in blisters. Like overnight, just all these blisters coming off of my body where all the burns were and all the grafts. And my family, of course, we immediately called the hospital, called my physician, and told him, and he was very puzzled and very concerned that perhaps the skin grafts were coming off of my body. And I had already almost died in the hospital several times because of the surgeries, from major infection, 106.6 fever, losing 5 pints of blood. So the idea of having to go in for another surgery was very frightening for all of us. So my physician was extremely concerned. He said, please get to the hospital immediately. Get in the car. Of course, you know, I couldn't wear clothes. I could only put on a hospital gown backwards and a little tiny loose pair of shorts. But he didn't want anything touching me because he didn't want the skin to come off with these delicate blisters all over. So we immediately got to the hospital and went to the waiting room where he told us to go. I was with my parents, and they had dropped me off and went to park the car. And I went inside looking for the doctor, and I checked in and sat down, and a nurse came out into the waiting room, and there could have been 100 people in the waiting room, 60 people. I'm not really sure. It was a lot of people. And I was just sitting there, very scared, of course, and waiting for this doctor, and she came behind me with this booming voice and said, "You, how dare you? You stand up right now. You have no right to be out here. I'm taking you out of this room immediately." She went into this complete rant publicly in front of all these people, telling me I had no right to go out in public. She was telling me I was freaking everyone out and frightening everyone there. She escorted me very aggressively out of the room, scolding me with her finger and her look and her words. And I was just in shock. And every time I tried to explain to her, no, my doctor told me, she would cut me off and say no, and telling me that I was doing it on purpose, that I should have covered up. And it was so devastating because it was the first time I'd ever gone out in public. So as you can imagine, I mean, I'd spent 40 days in the hospital and then went straight to our home where, you know, I was in care 24/7. And I was just in survival mode. It hadn't even dawned on me, believe it or not, that I was a fright to look at. I didn't even get that yet. That's how intense the experience was. We were just trying to survive minute by minute. And you know, I was frightening to look at. I mean, I was deep blood red. I had 300 staples in my back alone. And it was large, bulging lumps coming off my body and then these blisters. So I understand the shock. But what happened to me is, you know, she walked me out of this room, walked me down a hall, slammed the door, very angry with me, never, ever listened, never once had 1 ounce of compassion, and would not allow herself to shift. And I went into absolute agony. That was the first moment that I felt I would forever, never be a part of society. It was like something shut down in me that day where I thought, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this was my life. I really believed that I would always be on the fringe of society and never really accepted. It really brought me to my knees. And for years, I carried the pain of her words and her look and her treatment of me and being taken out, basically banned from this place. I never understood it. And of course, it was so humbling. And it brought up later an enormous amount of anger. But what it did that surprised me, that was so profound, was it taught me the most incredible lesson in forgiveness. You know, I didn't think I needed to forgive somebody like that for a long time, but what was happening is I was becoming bitter, and it was only hurting me. But I learned over time to break down that situation and dissect it from every angle I could to try to understand this woman. Why would anyone treat anyone that way? Why? And when I thought about it at very deep levels, I thought, you know, maybe she was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter that she was a nursing professional. You know, we all have this human cellular response to for our own survival. And maybe I triggered her. Maybe the sight of me made her so afraid that she, in her own way, had to blame me, blame the victim, make me bad somehow. It doesn't excuse it, but it helped me understand. And then I thought, okay, well, what's another angle? Maybe no one ever taught this woman how to be compassionate. Maybe no one ever taught her how to handle a situation graciously. No one ever taught her that she could have gone to me and said, hey there, you know, are you here with somebody? Can I help you? Are you all right? Can I take you somewhere and get you a blanket or, you know, get you some water? There's so many things she could have done to handle it better, but maybe no one ever taught her that. Mm-hmm. And for that, I couldn't get angry with her for that. You know, there's so many layers to it that I had to go back to, and it took me years to come to a place of being peaceful with her. But I eventually was able to do it. And this is just one of so many powerful stories like this where through my experience of, you know, there were cruel comments made by all kinds of strangers, people, every education level, every socioeconomic level, across the board, people would say things sometimes that were so hurtful. And that was part of my gift was, of course, I would never wish this on anyone, but I had to learn to forgive and find compassion for people, even in their most cruel moments. And that is something I would never give up for anything, mm-hmm. is to find peace in the face of the unimaginable. I mean, I feel like so grateful for that experience.
Well, your experience is a very powerful one, and I know with this Ignited, the CDs, listening to you tell your story, you have on the front of your package, Learn the Secrets from an Artist Burned Alive, who went on to create a life she never dreamed possible. You are involved with youngsters that have been burned. You have a powerful story in your CD set about a boy by the name of Matthew and what he accomplished. You have, as you said, received many, many gifts, and your perspectives on this horrific experience, which some people would not have survived because you went through a great many difficulties, just one of which you have talked about, yet you have found that you were the one that had to learn to come to peace with yourself, with what had evolved, and you have so many aspects of courage that you display. When you are working with young kids that have been burned badly, this is something, in a way, I would think kids would be far more resilient, but by knowing you as an adult, having gone through that very experience on a major level, that must mean quite a bit to them.
It does, and it means it's such a reciprocal relationship. No matter what age you are, when you share this experience, there's an immediate bond and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't even have to talk about it because, although we do, and it's great to do that, there's an immediate understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that anyone can go through this without being brought to their knees by life and being asked to come through it and find a way to come through it. You know, I many times had to make a choice about whether or not I was going to hide from the world and crawl in a ball and give up. And it would have been very easy to do. And I could have easily done that. And it would have been okay because it was hard. Mm-hmm. But I feel so grateful. I think the extreme nature of the experience for me did propel and ignite within me something that I didn't know was there. And that's why the CD is called Ignited. It's really about the ignition of the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being... What's that?
I said that is true.
Yes. It's about the power of what each of us has. And, you know, I was this sensitive, tender-hearted, and still am. You know, I was this artist. And if there was anyone that I would have thought could never have survived this, it was me. And that's what, before I tell you the story of Matt, I do want to just let your audience know that I was that person that should have not made it.
Mm-hmm.
And should have been crushed by the experience. Because it wasn't just being burned in the fire, it was the agony of years of recovery. But, and I'll give you a metaphor for this. When I was in the car on fire, one of the things that shocked me was, you know, I was given a graceful exit to leave life. I could have left Earth that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have thought that I would have chosen that, because this isn't an easy place to be. The human experience is not easy. It's very difficult at times, and sometimes wonderful, of course, but in general, very difficult. And when I was in that fire, on fire, physically in horrific pain, and I was even starting to shut down because it was very hard to hang on in those last moments, all of a sudden, as my body is starting to shut down, all of a sudden, it shocked me. It was like this part of me emerged out of my being, and I was watching it like a witness. I was watching this part of me fight like a warrior to stay alive, fighting and holding on and clenching my arms and my teeth to stay alive. And I was like, who is that? Who is that? And it was me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never seen that part of me. And what I realized, that was my, I believe, the part of me that knew I had a reason to stay here, that was not going to let me die that night. And it was so amazing to meet that part of me in a fire. And what I want people to know is that everybody has this. And you don't have to be pushed to such extremes to grab onto that part of you that is a warrior, that is that powerful, that will stand tall for you and will fight for your life.
Absolutely.
So,
Allison,
it was powerful.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dear. I do know we're just about out of time here.
Oh.
You have so much to share. So much to share. And there's just no way. It would take us a couple of hours, and I know my audience would love to hear more of your story, and I encourage them to get your CDs, to listen to your story, because it's not just the story of a warrior, but it is the story of someone, you, a woman, a young woman, who decided that the warrior not only was going to be tamed in the right way, but you were going to be able to take this experience and make it work for you.
Yes.
Not be a victim, but make it work for you in a way that was going to not just empower yourself, but also empower other people. Allison, what is the website that people can go to find out more about your experience and how to get your CDs and any other publications that you may have?
Well, thank you so much. It's my name. It's AllisonMassari.com, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, M like Mary, A-S-S, like Sam, A-R-I, .com. And on there are a couple of links. There's one to the CD set, There's one called What It Takes to Heal. There's some free videos and wonderful content there to help people if they're going through something right now.
Well, Allison, I have nothing but the deepest amount of appreciation and respect for you, and I compliment you on being so honest in your communication about your experience and sharing the experiences with such a sensitivity, which obviously being an artist you have on multiple levels, but sharing it with such a sensitivity that people really, if they listen to your CDs, will not only understand what you went through, but they will feel like they're sort of walking the experience themselves, less the trauma that you went through. And I think it gives someone an idea that we need to appreciate where we are right now and recognize that there's a lot more to life. There's many levels to life that only through living can we experience. And you went through the major, major shift with this. And I just think there's nothing but good things ahead of you and some wonderful, wonderful opportunities for you to empower other people to know the greatness of their own life. Allison, thank you for being my guest. For those of you listening, Allison Massari, AllisonMassari.com. Check out her website. This is a must-listen-to story, and I look forward to the time when she has her book. Allison, again, thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, it has been such an honor. You are delightful, and I appreciate you so much for having me on today.
It's a pleasure. We're taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. If you want to be inspired, get Allison's story, AllisonMassari.com. It'll make your holiday season a much richer one on more than one level. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome. Well, it's coming. Yes, yes, yes. Can you believe it's already this time of the year? Holy Moses. The days just fly by. And before we know it, The little guy, not so little guy, the plump character in the red suit's going to be making visits to a lot of families. And I just want to say I'm so delighted that I have an opportunity tomorrow to be at a wonderful event called the Dickens Festival here in the Tacoma, Washington area. And for those of you who are listening from Western Washington, I invite you to come out, visit with me at the King's Bookstore. This event is going to be going on from 10 a.m. in the morning until 6, and you can find out all about it by going to Dickens Festival Tacoma, Washington on the internet, and all kinds of videos and good points of information will be popping up, and you'll get all the details for this wonderful family event. But I'm going to be doing many readings at King's Bookstore, and you'll find out all the information about that right up there, and they also are on Facebook if you wanted to check out things there as well. But come on out. We're going to be doing many consultations, and part of the proceeds from the consultation fees will be going towards a charity that this wonderful festival supports every year. So I look forward to seeing you, and I'm going to be at King's Bookstore from 11 until 4, so I hope to see you there. Also, for those of you that have a paranormal story, remember the cutoff date for submitting those stories of your personal experiences that affected and changed your life, whether it's an out-of-body experience, a visitation from someone that has passed on, dreams that have come true. I'd love to have you send it to me. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And I will be putting it in the file along with dozens of other stories, and I look forward to receiving it. The cutoff date is January the 2nd. That's the last day of submission. I did say the 1st, but hey, that's New Year's Day, so who cares? So let's make it the 2nd of January, and I'm putting this book together then from all of these stories, and of course some stories of my own as well. Next week, we've got a wonderful lineup. Oh, goodness gracious, I haven't given out the phone number. Call in to 888-815-9756 if you'd like to chat with me today. 888-815-9756. If you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you are welcome. After I give you details and information, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. So again, 888-815-9756. I want to let you know what's coming up next week. We're going to be talking about the secret history of consciousness. Meg Blackburn Lucy, or Losey, is going to be my guest. I think you'll find it interesting about this secret history. And then on Tuesday, for those of you that are planning on traveling, you're going to want to listen to Gail Cooper. We are going to be discussing the ins and outs of traveling and how, during the holiday season especially, you can handle those stresses easily and arrive at your destination not being exhausted, but actually looking forward to whatever adventures will be in store. Sally Heldenson is going to be my guest on Wednesday of next week. We're going to be talking about female vision. Sally had been scheduled to be on my show a couple of months back, but then she had an emergency that she had to cancel our interview, and so we were able to reschedule. This is powerful information for women to be aware of. And then Richard Hart on Thursday, Keep Your Daughter Safe. Now, this is a publication that he put together. He's got over 100 tips. We're going to be discussing that. But it's not just the daughters. Ladies, we need to be alert and aware. We don't need to be fearful. We need to be educated and understand that if we know how to protect ourselves and how to be alert to potential negative situations, we can stay out of harm's way. This, of course, needs to be passed on to the younger generation. I think you'll find it very interesting. And then, a favorite guest of mine, Bob Curran. He's in Scotland. He has been a guest on my show more than once. He is a fascinating historian. And we're going to be talking about man-made monsters. Ah, yes, there's a lot of fascinating history here. So we have a great lineup of guests for next week. Tell your friends, I invite you, if you miss any shows, to go and check out our archives. Also, I encourage you, if you want to know who's coming up on a show, go to the BBS radio station 1, just like you did to hear the show today. But tap next to the Donna Sebo Show, tap show information, and you'll get a listing of all of the upcoming guests. Well, I've been sharing your horoscopes, winter horoscopes, with you. I've talked about Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Libra, and Scorpio. Well, how about you Sagittarians? Well, before we go on break, let me get a couple more of the signs of the zodiac in for our generalized winter horoscope. Sagittarius, my goodness, if you fall in love, it is just going to be hard and heavy. Yes, if this is something that is evolving for you at this time, it is going to be your total focus. But during this next 3 months, you're also going to find it's very important for you to be in touch with the people that you love, whether they are directly related to you or a part of what I'd say is your extended family. You need to be there. It's like I have to keep my connection with them. Very good pattern to follow. Money, well, you've got to weigh options. You don't want to just jump into any situation without really finding out what are the pluses and the minuses. If you're interested in a career change, think everything through. It's very important. Write it down. Positives, negatives, what you want, what you don't want. Really get clear so your focus will be where it should be. It looks like after February of the new year, there's going to be some wonderful opportunities for you. Also, you're going to have a chance to do some traveling, short trips, perhaps even some long ones between now and the end of 2011. You just need to know that this is all up to you. You are going to be able to make your choices, but for heaven's sakes, go do it. Don't try to think everything out so that it's perfectly in order. It'll drive you nuts, and you'll never go anywhere. Now, for those of you born under the sign of Cancer, I will just say you are really going to be very concerned about older members of the family. It's almost as if you have a sense of urgency. You're the one that would be doing the videos, doing something like interviews, recording stories that they have to tell. And you are going to want to be with your significant other more than perhaps you would otherwise. It's as if there's something you're wanting to connect with. And you really, really, really love family. And money and career, well, you're going to have to be on a budget for a while. Yes, you're going to have to continue to look for that which you have the most passion for. So if you want to have that job security that means a lot to you, you need to shop and you need to have some patience because eventually you'll be able to do it. But boy, you've got to make sure you keep a clamp on your bank account because you could overspend. Now, what about traveling? Well, you may have an opportunity to go overseas. That's right. If you're interested in traveling to other countries or studying other cultures, this is a wonderful time to do it. And it's important for you because it's going to expand your horizons and your education. Well, I'm only going to have time because we're going on break for two, so we've covered Sagittarians and Cancer. Those of you under the sign of Leo, Virgo, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, we'll be talking about you next week. Meanwhile, Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. When we come back, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and maybe some more of something else. So we'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I absolutely love people's imaginations. I think there are those individuals that will come up with ideas and concepts that are just phenomenal. Let me tell you about a man named Pete. There is, as we all know, an organization called Easter Seals. Well, they have a rehabilitation center in Evansville, Indiana. And during the month between Thanksgiving and Christmas, there is a lot of excitement at this center. Why? Because there's a stranger. His name, Pete. They know nothing about this man. But they never know when they're going to get a call from him. And it really is something that brings a tremendous feel of, is he going to call again? Let me tell you the story. Last year, Terry Haney, who was the vice president of the development of the Easter Seals Rehabilitation Center in Evansville, Indiana, was engrossed in some very serious work. On the afternoon of November 30th, the phone rings. He's so busy, he just picks it up and he says hello. And then he hears the following. Do you know what time of year it is? It's a male voice. And it's very mischievous. This was the beginning of a mysterious annual treasure hunt. And Mr. Haney replied, yes, sir, it's Pete's time. Now, every year, this man, his name, he's only known as Pete, he'll telephone the center with a clue-filled message. And the staff of the center scramble. Why? Because they have to search their two-story building and its grounds to find the donation that Pete leaves for them for the children with disabilities. Now, in the past years that this has been done, this secret Santa, he has stashed money all over the place, like a snowman cookie jar. He's attached money to candy canes that were hanging from a tree in the parking lot. Oh, I'm telling you, this guy has imagination. Now, last year, his instructions led the enthusiastic staff members out the front door of the building to the back of the building and straight towards a dumpster. Now, placed in a gift bag on the ground near this dumpster was a miniature tin Christmas tree. That's right, a tin Christmas tree. Hanging on that Christmas tree were 30 crisp $100 bills. Well, when they saw this, everybody gets really, really excited. And of course, they're all yelling, thank you, Pete, because they hope he's around somewhere watching because of what he does since 1990. He's been doing this for 20 years. Pete has donated nearly $65,000 to this rehabilitation center, and this center serves a lot of people. 5,000 adults and children, in fact, all of whom are in need of physical and medical rehabilitation in this 30-county stretch of Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky. Now, Pete, the only thing that he asks is that the gift of money help the children served by the center. He says in his messages always to use his gifts to make Christmas merrier for the children whose families cannot afford it. Now, last year, 70 children got new clothes and toys because of Pete. And every year, his donation comes with a note on purple paper that promises, "You will hear from me again." Isn't that a wonderful story? People love to give. And many times, we may not have $3,100 bills that we could put on a tin Christmas tree by a dumpster. But maybe we can volunteer somewhere. Or maybe we can remember someone that needs to be remembered with a loving gift of some kind or another. We may only be able to fix a homemade macaroni casserole and share it with a neighbor. Or maybe you invite somebody that's alone to your home to celebrate Christmas dinner. I was talking with someone not too long ago who said that their children had all gone away and were off in college and they weren't going to be coming home for the holidays. And this is a woman that really loved to cook. She'd grumble and mumble about, "Oh, so much work fixing Christmas dinner. I'll be glad one day when I don't have to do it." Well, she absolutely loves the cooking. And she said, you have your children, they grow up and they go away and they have their lives. Maybe they come home for Christmas, maybe they don't. But she said, "I really miss the planning, the preparation." And I said, "You know, you don't have to give it up." And she was sort of surprised when I said it. She said, "Well, there's, you know, the family's not there anymore." And this is a single woman. I said, "Well, why don't you see if you can invite some military men and women who don't have a home to go to? Why don't you invite them over and have a holiday dinner? Contact somebody on the base and say, is there a chance that I could have 10, 15, 20 people, however many you want to have in your home? And also check your neighborhood. Sometimes when you're out and you're walking about, if you have dogs like we've got, then you need to remember that you may find that a person is alone. We discovered that with a couple of our neighbors. We've walked by their homes many, many times through the years, and we found out through conversation that they had no place to go, that they had no one to spend their time with. So we invited them to our home to join our family environment. We have an extended family of friends, and our table is always full. Remember, part of the wonderment and the joy of this holiday season is to share our abundance in some way with someone else. I have a very dear friend who now is 89 years of age, and she had always wanted to help out at a soup kitchen during the holidays. Well, she was able to do that. And she said it changed her thinking and her attitude about life in so many ways. You're blessed. You have so much to be grateful for. And having that kind of an attitude and appreciation, it doesn't take much to share it with someone else. When you're out and about during the holiday season, if you encounter someone, a salesperson that's going through difficult times, maybe her feet or his feet are killing them, and they have just had a person in front of you that has bitten their head off, take time to be thoughtful, give them a smile, wish them a happy holiday season, and if you have a funny joke, share it with them. Remember, life is about interacting with people in a quality and purposeful manner. And thoughtfulness, compassion, and caring. If you listen to Allison, you realize there's a lot of people that go through experiences that you would never want to go through. But it's what they do with it that makes a difference, and the same goes for you. So the holiday season can be a wonderfully joyful experience. Remember, it all comes from within yourself. Share the joy. Share the spirit that these holidays symbolize. And carry it with you all year long. This is Donna Seba. I know we're out of time. Have an utterly, utterly magnificent weekend. Hope to see you tomorrow over at King's Bookstore in Tacoma, Washington. Say hello if you're in the neighborhood. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous and safe weekend. Take time. Don't be in a hurry. I want you back here on Monday. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.